Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning. Welcome again to Driven to Business, where we believe in the free market and celebrate the entrepreneurial spirit. Before we get started today, I saw a very interesting research piece here, and I think all of the sales crew here at Biz 1190 would like to hear it. You know, of all the digital stuff we have in our cars and have on us all the time, where it's iPods or MP3 players or CDs or, in my case, satellite radio, or if you like to listen to Pandora, things like that, you would think that broadcast radio listening would be going down, but nope. In fact, broadcast radio is strongly growing, and as a matter of fact, it still is the primary media by which people listen. This is an interesting fact here. 92.4% of all listening is broadcast radio, and in fact, that percentage is growing. Interestingly enough, the digital ways of listening appear to be actually increasing broadcast radio. So again, for our friends in that are selling radio time, that's a great idea. Many of us in business keep hearing that we've got to get into social media. I'm told this all the time, and have been for years. Eddie, you've got to get into social media. You've got to learn how to use social media to build your business. And of course, the problem is how? How in the world are we going to do that? I was looking at an article on the Huffington Post the other day, and it talked about businesses getting more business using LinkedIn and so forth. Well, rather than just reading something off the Huffington Post, we're going to do something a lot better. We have a very special guest today that's actually used LinkedIn to increase her business. We have from upstate New York, Rebecca Zhu. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you very much.
Rebecca, here in the South, when we say that someone's from New York, you know what we think. We think you're in New York City, but you're nowhere near New York City, are you?
No, I'm not. And it's funny that you say that because it's a common misconception, and it's not just limited to people from the South. But you tell someone that there's no skyscrapers, there's just fields and woods, they're absolutely amazed. I own 40 acres and a farm, and they laugh because they don't picture that when you mention you're from New York. So it's definitely different than New York City. We do have indoor plumbing, just so everybody knows. I know we're in the country and people wonder. We do have indoor plumbing. We have running water. But there's definitely a difference between New York City and central New York.
Yeah, people up there actually are, my experience has been very friendly. And you know, when we first got involved up there in upstate New York, I was always amazed that the guys were wanting off the first day of hunting season and things like that. It's just not what you think about when you think of someone in New York. You are in what's called the, up there where you are, is actually the Finger Lake area. Tell us a little bit about that.
Finger Lakes area, very beautiful. A lot of tourists come out this way for the wineries. It's big for the winery area. Again, people come out to our area because it is laid back. Again, people come out here from all over to go hunting. We have dirt roads. In fact, I live on one. But there's a lot of wide open spaces. So we get a lot of what we call downstaters that travel to upstate just to take advantage of the parks, the lakes, and the rivers, and all the fun recreation stuff we have out here and get away from the hustle and bustle of, you know, the big city.
You actually do live on an operating farm. And by the way, if you wanted to see something about Rebecca's farm, you can go to Facebook and just look up Old Iron Farms, and you'll see Rebecca's farm. They actually raise livestock and hay and other things and sell them as an operating farm. Now, I should say, in the interest of full disclosure, that Rebecca and I work together. Rebecca and I work for the same company. The company that I'm the president of, EMA, is the company for which Rebecca is an account executive with. And I try hard not to make Driven to Business an infomercial for EMA, but EMA, which again, you can see this at emainc.net, or just Google EMA Drives and you'll find us. And in fact, Rebecca has some blogs on there that you can read if you go to our website. But Rebecca is an interesting person. She spends her time between running a farm and selling electronic motor drives and services. And that's a sort of an amazing thing. We're going to talk a little more about that in a few minutes. But what I particularly wanted to talk with you about, Rebecca, is that you have really learned how to use LinkedIn. You know, there are a ton of people who sort of see LinkedIn as a sort of a set and forget thing. You put your resume there, you form a few connections, you don't spend any time there, and they don't really expect anything out of it. But you have a different approach, don't you?
Most definitely. I've had a lot of success, as you know, on LinkedIn with meeting the necessary contacts that I need for myself as well as for EMA. And I actually treat LinkedIn more like my email. It's always open on my computer. When my computer is open, LinkedIn is always up. It might be minimized, but I always have it open on my computer so I can see what people are doing and I can answer their questions and help them out. You know, here's a LinkedIn success story for you. I have a customer who solely utilized EMA just for our repair services. And it wasn't that I wasn't out there trying to get them to buy new equipment from us or go to our training classes. It's just for some reason this is what they always did with us. And one of my blogs that you had spoke about, it's a VFD and pool pump blog, was on our EMA website. I posted it as a link on my LinkedIn account. This gentleman read that blog and called me up, asked a couple questions, got our technician on the phone, ended up buying a brand new piece of equipment from us after years of trying to get them to buy equipment. The funny thing is this is a customer that my article was aimed towards your YMCAs, your Boys and Girls Clubs, or schools that had pools. This customer had a watering system for logs. They're in the logging industry. It's not somebody I would have intended to market that blog article to, but by posting it on my LinkedIn, he put the dots and connected it and came up with a picture where it worked for him, and we sold our first piece of equipment to him. So I definitely see it as you don't set it and forget it. You've got to be on there.
You know, in a way, I've heard other people say that their LinkedIn profile is in some ways sort of a surrogate salesperson that's working when you're not. And like you say, you have it open there, you have information, and you find customers that do, in fact, talk to you. Rebecca, you've got, within our company, you're sort of almost famous for this. You have a real knack for meeting people and engaging them in conversation, and you have a lot of success. And I think one reason I sort of admire that is that I'm not very good I meet people okay, but you know, if I go into a large crowd of people I don't know anyone, I have a hard time. It takes me a bit to get a conversation going with anyone. You seem to have no problem with that, and you somehow do that on LinkedIn as well. How's it different? How would you say, is it different to meet people on LinkedIn than it is to meet them in person?
Well, of course. I mean, face to face is always easier. When you meet somebody face-to-face, before you even walk up and approach them, you can instantly start to analyze them, their body language, their eye contact, what type of personality, and the impression they leave with you before you even walk up to them. Once you walk up to them and you start to engage in a conversation, you can also watch all that body language and stuff again, and if you see a conversation isn't going well, you just jockey the conversation in a different direction. LinkedIn, you don't have that opportunity. So you really need to do your homework and do some research. Look at people's profiles, see what they have for educational background, work experience, personal as well as professional interests, and feed off of those. For me, it's very easy to walk up to somebody, ask them how they are, what their name is, what they do for a living. I take that approach before I ask anybody anything about what can you buy from me, what can I do for you. People like that personal connection, whether it's you both vacationed in the same place, you both have kids the same age. People like to relate with you on an individual level.
Rebecca, just as an aside, this is stepping out of LinkedIn just for a second and just talking for sales. You know, your ability to meet people like that, is that an innate ability you have, or is that a skill you've learned?
It's a little of both. I think if you walk into a room, you're standing tall, and you have a smile, even if your heart is racing, your hands are shaking, you present an air of welcome. People want to come up and say hi to you. You can hide your hand shaking by holding a book tight to you or whatever. You also need to learn a little bit about it, how to read people's you know, body language is a big thing. So that I had to do some reading on just to kind of help out a little bit. It's not something you learn and you're done. You always have to kind of continue because every person is different.
Yeah, I was reading as far as knowing who, learning something about people. There's a fellow named Thomas Van Aan, who's the founder of an organization called Viral Solutions. I read where he said that the best way to use LinkedIn, the first off, is to know who your target customer is so you can go there. Would you agree with that?
Most definitely. For us, particularly at ENA, it's different. We offer different services, and some people tap into a multitude of our services. Other people only use maybe one. Knowing what people need, what they want, and how you can help, it goes back to you've got to do your homework. I could easily connect with a gazillion people on LinkedIn, but it's kind of like Facebook. I don't need 800 million followers or people liking me. I need the people that I can help and make things easier for them, but that can also help me and put me in the right context to help me pursue my career and go further.
You know, after the break, I want to talk to you a little bit about possibly the differences, as you would see, between Facebook and LinkedIn, mm-hmm. both of which are, you know, are wonderful, wonderful organizations, but which certainly have different. You know, small business owners, it seems to me that small business owners and small businesses and people that are sales folks for small businesses can leverage can level the playing field a bit with some very large companies and very large sales organizations by using a professional appearance on LinkedIn. And I think you've done that very well. And I think a lot of the listeners out there, many of whom have been looking for ways to use social media, could take a bit from what you've done. We're going to be back with Rebecca in just a few minutes after the break, and we're going to talk some more about the differences between perhaps Facebook and LinkedIn. She's going to give us some practical ways of how she got started in LinkedIn, some other tricks of the trade. You'll hear it right here. Don't go away. We'll be back. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll be back. Welcome back to Driven to Business here on Biz 1190, right here in the Atlanta area. By the way, a podcast of today's program will be available after the program on the eddiemayfield.com. That's E-D-D-I-E, Mayfield.com. There's also links there to EMA's website, emainc.net, where you can also go there and find Rebecca's contact information and look at her blogs and get in touch with her. And you can send both of us a message on either one of those websites. And welcome back. Rebecca, we were talking right before the break. When people think of social media, they don't just think of LinkedIn. In fact, a lot of them would probably be more likely to think of Facebook, wouldn't they?
Because Facebook has been there longer, people do think of Facebook. But there is there's a vast difference between what Facebook is used for and what LinkedIn is used for and what you can get out of each. So you have to know the difference and pursue which avenue works best for you and your company.
Well, I sort of view Facebook as more of a non-professional network where you keep up with your church friends or your social friends, and you talk, and you know, if you're going to a ball game together and going to restaurants together and things of that sort, whereas LinkedIn is more professional. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, LinkedIn is more, there's companies who have Facebook pages that it's great in a sense where you can post pictures of outings your company has done, community service projects your company has promoted and worked on. That's great for people to see what your company is about, kind of the backbone, where LinkedIn you can't really put a lot of pictures unless they're on your website and you're linking them that way. LinkedIn is more of, here's my professional resume, here's some blogs that I've done, and you're always evolving it, you're adding things, so it's an active resume for yourself and your company.
Rebecca, you know that our company, we actually buy pay-per-click ads. That's those don't know that term, pay-per-click, meaning that you don't pay anything unless someone clicks on your ad, and then you can target those ads for demographics. In our case, for electric motor drives or many other keywords that we would be interested in, and they can do that. I was telling Rebecca during the break, I wasn't sure she knew this, but we also run ads on Facebook, pay-per-click ads. And for the business, we get very little out of that. Now, conversely, for events that we've done at church and things like that, the pay-per-click ads on Facebook have done quite well. So I think that speaks to the difference between the two, is that the at least from what we're observing, that LinkedIn is more of a for business Facebook, at least this is our observation. Someone may differ, but Facebook has been more more useful in terms of social type interactions, where LinkedIn has certainly for us been a great business avenue. And I will also say that within our company, it's been Rebecca that's been the driving force behind LinkedIn. I think before Rebecca began having some success in this, I actually fit what the guy said earlier, that LinkedIn was something you sort of just would set and forget. That's what I would do. I'd been a member of LinkedIn a long time, but I just never did anything with it. Rebecca, what got you initially interested in LinkedIn to start with?
Well, as you know, Eddie, I like to do a lot of research. I like to do a lot of reading. On nights that I can't sleep, I'm typically on my laptop. So I'm not somebody who's going to get on the laptop and play games. I'm going to look at things to better myself, either professionally or personally.
Yeah, you're one of these people I get emails from at 3 in the morning. I'm always like, what in the world were you doing at 3 in the morning?
Yeah, I joke with my customers that sometimes if they want something, they might want to turn their ringer off at night, because who knows when they'll get it, but they'll get it before the next day. You know, I did a lot of research on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, MySpace, eCademy. There's a bunch of professional networking sites. You really need to do the research to see which one's going to be better for you as an individual. LinkedIn, if you look at it, they have over 200 million professional people on there. So if you think about how many professional people you can tap into, that instantly told me that's where I wanted to be. I want to be listed with professional people. I want them to see who I am, what I do. And I also want to be able to intermingle with those people. So that was, it was an easy decision for me.
The Steve Martin, I read this article, Steve Martin writing in the Harvard Business Review, said that about 25% of LinkedIn users, he describes as enthusiasts. And these are folks that have fully developed LinkedIn accounts, and they use them constantly in sales work. And of course, Rebecca, that describes you. But for anyone that wants to begin using LinkedIn more effectively, are there some things you would advise them to do?
You know, most definitely each person has to look at what I'm going to suggest and take it with a grain of salt and decide who you are, who you want to be, as well as what company you're working for and what presence you want. For me as an account manager, I do direct sales with customers. That's one of the things I do. So I looked at it as in, what do I have to offer? There's 200 million people, like I stated. I need to have something that I can offer them. When you do sales, it's not about you and increasing your business and your pocket. People come back and do business with you because you offer something personally beneficial for them. So look at first what you have that you can offer other people. The next one would be, you've got to be committed. Like you said, this isn't something where you can start it, walk away, and forget about it, because it doesn't show up that you're active on your page. So people aren't going to come and hit on your page and review what you're posting. So you've got to be committed. The next one would be, you've got to do your research. Like I said, look at your connections' profiles, read their updates, and know who they are, what's driving them, where you might fit into helping them succeed, and then keep the momentum up. This isn't something, again, you walk away from. So you've got to continuously update your profile. Your posts should be beneficial to other people. And I always look at my connections, the people that I'm directly connected with, I look to see who they're connected with. might be somebody in there that I'm not connected with that I should be.
Rebecca, are there any, I'm sure there are, but are there any no-nos for using LinkedIn for business?
I think for a business aspect, if you're there's two different LinkedIns. You can have a company LinkedIn page. That's a whole different ballpark. EMA LinkedIn page versus a Rebecca Zhu EMA page. So there is two different things. On a personal level, to have an employee LinkedIn page, a personal professional one, I don't just connect with anybody. Again, I could walk away with, I have some people who have 1,000, 4,000 connections, but how many of them are beneficial for you and how many are you actually beneficial for in return? So connect with people that you can help and that can help you would be my first thing. If you want to just connect with people, that's where I'd say go do the Facebook. Professionally, you connect with the people that are going to help you move up the ladder and you're going to help them. The other thing that I really am not too keen on is there's a thing called the skill endorsement section. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Well, that's where I could go on to your page, for example, and I could say I endorse Eddie Mayfield for variable speed drive knowledge. Some people will go on and just endorse you. They've never worked with you. They don't know you on a personal level, and they just endorse you. I view my page, I do have people that endorse me that haven't worked with me, but I'd rather they endorse me because they've worked with me. They're validating who I am and what I do. So a no-no is don't just endorse people. You wouldn't recommend someone for a job that you don't know, so why would you endorse them?
That's a good point. I actually not thought about that, and it's very interesting because I got about six endorsements this morning from some folks I really only barely know and have never worked for, and I was thinking, why did they endorse me? I'm not sure. But you're right about that.
My recommendation would be, instead of doing a skill endorsement for somebody, do a recommendation. You and I have worked together. Instead of me endorsing a couple skills, which who knows, somebody looking at your profile, they're not going to know if those are true endorsements, where if I write an actual recommendation, which is kind of like a testimonial or a reference letter, you can post those on your page, and those hold so much more credibility because it's me saying, I worked with you, Eddie, here's the project, and here's why you're such a great person at VFDs or whatever.
And I am. We'll be back after the break. You guys hang around. This is Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Stay here. Welcome back to Driven to Business. We celebrate the entrepreneurial spirit. We believe in a free market. We admire business success. We learn from failures. And what we try to do every program is present some sound business and leadership principles that are grounded in both hard work and ethical business practices. Really, we want to help you succeed in your career and business, regardless of where you are on your business journey. And we're talking with Rebecca Zhu in upstate New York, and we're talking specifically about LinkedIn. Rebecca, before the news break, you were talking about when you were telling us some practical ways to begin using LinkedIn. One of the things that you said that sort of caught my ear was that it's not just what the people there can do for you. You have to look at it as to what you can do for them. I was a big fan of the late Zig Ziglar, and he had a saying he was very famous for, that you can have just about anything you want in this life if you'll just help enough other people get what they want in this life. And there's another guy that I've read quite a bit, a guy named Jeffrey Gitmer, a sales trainer, and he has a book called The Little Black Book of Connections. And he says up front in that, it's about this book is about how to make connections. Now, it's not on LinkedIn. It's about how to make business connections otherwise. Well, he says very bluntly in there that if you're entering a relationship with someone and your goal in that relationship is what you can get out of it, that relationship is going nowhere. And you've done a good job of building relationships by being helpful to others on LinkedIn. I wonder if you could expand on that a little bit and maybe tell us about groups. A lot of people don't know about that, I don't think.
About the groups that you can join?
Yes.
Well, the groups are, you can find something that's in your background, so you can look up variable speed drives would be something I'm interested in. I can also look up different areas and markets that we want to pursue. So you can find a group that has to do with variable speed drives. It might be your competitor. It might be a brand that you spec. It could just be other professionals. You join those groups, and then you can post comments, post surveys, just intermingle with people in your profession or the target audience that you're aiming for. So those are always beneficial to join. Again, you still have to go on there and look at them. You don't just join and walk away. You want to post. You want to read people's posts and comments so you stay active and seen.
You do. One downside to that, I just wonder how you handle this. I'm a member of several of the same groups you're a member of, and I think a few more just for other things I'm interested in. You do end up with a lot of email from that, don't you?
Well, you can go to your setting page, and you can actually make it so you can get daily updates from that group. You can get weekly, you can get monthly, or you can opt out of getting any updates at all. Some of my groups that I'm in, but maybe they're not as high on my priority list, I don't get emails from them. I just go to their site at my leisure, look at what people post, and opt to post.
Rebecca, you recently, something that I'm familiar with you recently connected with a very high-placed person within the power quality and motor drive business in our industry. And then it just so happened, he happened to be speaking at an event that you and some other of our folks attended out in Houston. And so you had the chance to almost immediately meet him and sit down with him. And just tell us how this happened. That's really an amazing power that LinkedIn has.
Yeah, I think you got to kind of rewind a little bit. For me, when I ask somebody to connect with me online, that's just the start for me. Once I connect with somebody and they accept my connection request, I always go to their profile and do my homework. I send them a thank you for connecting with me via LinkedIn. Here's what we can do to assist you, by the way. And I mentioned something personal about them from their page. Maybe they organize training classes. By the way, if you ever need assistance, we do that at EMA. Don't hesitate to call me. I always wrap my emails up by saying if there's something we can do to help you, if there's something you're looking for and you just can't find it on my profile, please let me know. So I instantly start networking with the people I connect with. We bounce emails back and forth. The individual that I met with in Houston, we had already bounced emails back and forth. We hadn't spoken on the phone. When I found out he was going to the conference that I was going to, I asked him if he had time. It'd be great. We could sit down and just further discuss what each other do and how we could help each other. Again, it goes back to how can we help each other. From that point, you know, it works out great. In fact, Eddie, from that recent conference, not sure if you realize this, but I already have 4 people that I have a baseline relationship with. For me, baseline means we're corresponding together. It's not one-sided. We're corresponding back and forth, and I actually have already sent them proposals on some of our services, our equipment.
Rebecca, I'm sort of struck hearing you. You know, the way you describe the way you follow up with people on LinkedIn, you know, really, people should know you don't only sell via LinkedIn. You're the whole package. But you know the way you're following up, networking, being very proactive in dealing with people, it's really not much different than the way you do it outside of LinkedIn, is it?
No, customers don't like somebody to just walk in and, Eddie, what could you buy from me today? Because here's what I'm selling. And then you buy from me and I walk away and you never hear from me again. I typically call my customers, or if I'm, you know, if I'm on overload, I send them an email. I even have customers, I'll send a text. Hey, how's the drive working for you? How was the preventative maintenance our technician did? Being in front of your customers makes you stand out. It shows that you're attentive to their needs, that you're following up. And if something's wrong and they're not happy, that you're there and you're going to take care of it. So when I look at sales, whether it's via LinkedIn, face-to-face, I'm looking at building long-term relationships with my customers. I want them to know I'm there from start to finish, and I don't want a sale today. I want a sale today, tomorrow, next year, and however long I'm with EMA, I want to be there for them.
I think that's exactly why you're successful in LinkedIn. And I think that's a point to make to everyone. LinkedIn is not a standalone sales tool. It's part of who you are. And, you know, we try to be a company that has values. And consequently, we try to have people on our team that have values. Some of those values are respect for other people, and you're not using people for your own benefit. That doesn't mean that we don't sell aggressively or that we're not trying to, you know, win jobs from competitors. That's the game of business. But it does mean that you're not a sort of a hit 'em and leave salesperson. I think both of us, Rebecca, in our past have had jobs like that, and that's not a very enjoyable way to do sales. Rebecca, just speaking again of just sales in general, you've kind of told us how you prospect on LinkedIn, but we have a lot of salespeople listening in. Do you have any tricks for finding, tricks is not the right word, I'll just ask you this, how do you find prospects outside of LinkedIn? How do you do that?
Well, outside of LinkedIn, I've done cold calls. I myself am not, those aren't my favorite thing to do. It's a personal thing for me. I'm not big on cold calls. I've done them, but it's not my strong suit. So I'm not going to play on something that I'm not good at. I'm going to play off of the things I'm good at. I'm really good at doing research and finding companies. I can sit down and organize myself into an email and have it come out eloquently, get the point across, and let the customer know who I am and who our company is. So I'm good at doing research, tracking people down that way. Again, phone calls are great. We've done paid lists before. But for me, I think the best sales lead I get is from a referral. If you have a customer who stands behind you as an individual and your company, and they spread around your name and your company name, that speaks in volume to somebody.
You know, Rebecca, I think both of us would agree that we have to earn the right to tell our story, don't we? We have to, you don't expect someone to just listen to you or to give you business because you walked in the door or you were the last guy in the door and you certainly avoid trying to get into the sales situation where it's who can come up with the cheapest price, because no one ends up winning in situations like that. You know, I wrote some years ago, I wrote a few magazine articles based on direct, it was many years ago, on direct marketing. They were based on both my own personal experiences and how I learned expertise. And I used to give speeches to various groups, this was out in Texas mostly, on how to do direct mail and telemarketing, all that. But what I've come to realize in recent years is direct marketing doesn't work as well anymore. It's more indirect marketing, and it all has to do this earning the right to talk to a prospect. And you know, you've done this by holding seminars and lunch and learns where we actually give them something without them having given us anything, everything from simple lunch and learn type things to more elaborate events. And we have several significant customers as a result. And even at EMA, you know, one of the things we began doing was, instead of just having a brochure website, was putting up blogs that actually had useful information to people, just like the one you wrote on using variable frequency drives on pool pumps. And so people that are looking to do that find information, and it's useful information to them. It's just another way of earning the customer's respect and earning the right to tell them your story. It's the absolute opposite, isn't it, of a sort of the show up and throw up sales method that a lot of us grew up with?
It is, because, you know, salespeople do have that negative connotation just tattooed right across our forehead. It's kind of this warning beacon when we're walking into a customer's that, hello, you are a salesperson. And a lot of them do give that, oh my goodness, sigh when they see you coming. But by offering your customers something of value to themselves, you know, that helps. Not many customers are going to come up and say, hey, Eddie, hey, Rebecca, what can I do to help you be successful today? They're not going to do that.
Exactly. Another thing that I really do like about you, Rebecca, that I think, I don't know you would describe yourself this way. We have 1 minute before the break, but is that you're an optimistic person. I'm an optimistic person, and I don't think customers enjoy being around anyone that is not optimistic. And I think You know, earlier on in the conversation here today, you talked about that when you go into a room, you have a smile on your face. Well, that's part of it. And have body language that says, I'm a person can be approached, and I'm a person that's willing to talk to you. And instead of having, particularly in some tough times that all companies have gone through, including ours, instead of developing sort of a hunker down mentality and sit there and sweat it, that we end up, in fact, becoming attractive to customers. And we try, again, what you've talked about already today, where we give them benefit and we get with them. We'll be back after the break. We are talking with Rebecca Zhu in upstate New York. This is Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're talking with Rebecca Zhu. I want to remind everyone that today's program is being streamed live over biz1190.com. And also a podcast of today's program will be available after the program at eddiemayfield.com. You can read Rebecca's blogs and other info about Rebecca if you'll go to our company website at emainc.net, or just Google EMA Drives, and you'll find us there. And welcome back. Rebecca, we both read Peter Burke's excellent book, Unselling. And by the way, Peter's going to be on the program here in a couple of weeks. And Peter suggests, his book is called Unselling, How to Sell Less and Win More. And Peter suggests that prospects and customers are usually not in a position to make the best purchasing decision. This may come as a shock to some of our purchasing managers out there. But in our business, the electronic drive business, certainly you and I, when we go into a selling situation, you and I have more knowledge than the customer does. And often we've seen cases where the prospect or customer has made buying decisions where they've purchased motor drives or services that are unsuited for them, often from a competitor, I'll quickly add. This is difficult, but in meeting with people like that, Rebecca, how do you get across that you really do want to help them find the best solution for their problem?
You know, it's hard to do. It's hard to tell anybody that they're wrong or they did something wrong. Maybe they listened to somebody who didn't give them all of the information they needed to make the best decision for them. It's hard to do. What I've done in the past is I mentioned projects that we've worked on that were similar. I utilize my resources. If I need to dial up one of our technicians and get him on the phone while I'm standing right there and say, please explain this further than what I'm capable of doing it, you know, please do it. I'm one of the salespeople who will go out, and if I have somebody who asks me a question that I don't know the answer to 100%, I'm going to admit that. I'm going to tell them I don't know the answer. However, I have a technician back in the New York office, the Georgia office, or PA, that can help you. They can answer your question right now over the phone. By admitting that, I have actually gotten a lot of respect out of my customers because I'm not going to feed them a line that may not work.
You know, one of the a lot of leadership type trainers will tell you, I've heard Jack Welch say this, that you should build on your strengths and you should admit your weaknesses. And one of the funny things, a lot of us have a hard time admitting weaknesses, but Welch goes on to say that don't think the other people don't already know your weaknesses anyway. So you're not admitting something that they haven't already seen in you. But that's exactly what you're talking about, is it don't be afraid to admit you don't know everything. And if you need to call in the Calvary on something, then call in the Calvary. You know,
that's what they're there for.
Exactly. Rebecca, for a young person, perhaps especially any young woman that's starting out in a sales career, what advice would you give them? I hope you're not going to say don't do it.
No. You know, sales is definitely cutthroat. When I go out into the industry, I don't cut down my competitors, but I've been in situations where my customers told me my competitor really ripped me or our company to shreds.
Exactly.
And they don't know me. That's a competitor thing, but I shy away from that. So I guess what I would tell people is, you know, you really need to listen. When you have a conversation with a prospect or an existing customer, the conversation is like ping pong. it goes back and forth between you and your customer. It's not a one-way road where I do all the talking. I need to talk. I need to listen. It goes two ways. My mother-in-law used to be a teacher, and she sent me what's called the fish philosophy. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
I'm not.
I would tell people to go on the internet and read it. You can look at it on Wikipedia, and it's great because it tells you if you're going to do sales, you need to be there, not just a little bit, but all of you. You need to commit yourself to doing it and help people make a presence for yourself, earn respect. They use the word play, and they're saying you can be serious, but you can also have fun at work. Play as in use your enthusiasm and creativity. They say make their day. So a simple gesture, sending an email like I do, following up with my customers. Short and simple. Doesn't have to be some long book. And then choose your attitude on how you're going to go into each sales meeting, each day, each encounter. And the fish philosophy, like I said, you can buy the program. It's quite expensive, but you can read it on Wikipedia for free. So I tell them to do a little reading.
Well, that's awesome. Rebecca, I was thinking when you were talking there about John Maxwell, a sales and leadership trainer, has a great deal. He talks all the time about adding value. That's what you really were talking about. And part of that is it makes someone else's day, add value to their day. And I think that's great. Rebecca, I'm sure in the time we have left, there are some people that have had a great influence on you in your professional and probably your personal life as well. You like to tell us about those?
You know, there's tons of people. Most people would tell you, you know, their families, their teachers, their coworkers. But in all honesty, and this is not to have a bloated head syndrome by any means, because people who know me, I'm not the type that typically pats myself on the back. But I actually had somebody who looked at me one day and I said, thank you so much for helping me get to where I am. And they said, you know what, Rebecca, an instructor or a mentor is only as good as their student.
That's true.
Have to bring it for yourself every day. That kind of sticks with me now. I thank everybody who's helped me, but I also have to remember to thank myself for getting where I am.
You know, I mentioned this earlier, but you and your family, you actually do operate a commercial farm, don't you?
We do. We do. And people laugh about that.
I make fun of you all the time, as you know about it, but I'm also very impressed.
It is, and it's one of those icebreaker conversations. I was at a customer's the other day, and the guy had to pull out his phone to show me pictures of his cows and how were my cows, and people standing by were laughing, and I'm like, hey, you know, we got to catch up on the friend thing here, so I'll be with you momentarily.
I told some folks in our company this morning on a little news blurb that we do every morning that every Monday morning, I should say, that Rebecca's the only salesperson in the company that sold a pig last week, so everyone else needs to be catching up to her.
That's right.
By the way, people can see Rebecca's farm. If you go, Rebecca, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's Old Iron Farms on Facebook. Is that correct?
Correct. And if they go on my LinkedIn page, I have the name of my farm listed on there as well.
You know, speaking of your LinkedIn, let me, because your last name has an unusual spelling, tell people how to get to your LinkedIn page.
It's Rebecca, so my name is spelled the traditional way. It's R-E-B-E-C-C-A. My last name's a little more difficult, pronounced like zoo, where you would take your kids to see all the animals. But the spelling is Z-E-E-U-W.
That's Z-E-E-U-W. Most of you will have no problems with a Rebecca. And in our company, we call her Rebecca Z. That's how we keep up with that. Rebecca, we have only about a minute or two left. How in the earth do you balance? You are one of the most active people I know. You're a very active mom. You run a farm. You're a professional motor drive and service salesperson for EMA. You're active in the Girl Scouts. You do so many things. I don't know how you keep up with it. How do you balance that?
You know, having everything in place is great. If you leave on Friday from work and you have things in place, so when you come back Monday, you're not trying to organize and catch up, is always a great benefit. But also, I have a great support system with people who help me with my girls when I'm out of town or if I have to work late. So having the support system, that's the key.
Good deal. Rebecca, we have about 30 seconds. This is a short time to answer this, but at the end of your career in life, is there any way that you want people to remember you?
Well, Albert Pike, great guy, great author, he wrote, what we have done for ourselves alone dies with us. what we have done for others and the world remains and is immortal.
That is awesome. I've not heard of it before. That's really good. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for being here. You do go to emainc.net. Go to our blog page. You'll see some blogs, and you'll thumb through the blogs. You'll see some blogs from Rebecca. This is Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We appreciate you being here. We'll see you again next week. Remember, you'll hear this streaming live on Biz 1190 or podcast eddiemayfield.com. Thank you. Good day.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.